We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we are back, and we're going to play Colonel Douglas McGregor's response to Joe Obama Biden's State of the Union address. Folks, I think you'll find it very interesting. Be back right after this. Take her away.
I am Colonel Douglas McGregor, combat veteran and former senior advisor to the Secretary of Defense under President Trump. As Chief Executive Officer of Our Country, Our Choice, I want to respectfully present an alternative view of the State of the Union. The Constitution, our nation's guiding light, mandates that the government promote the general welfare, a charge that obligates Washington to secure the basic necessities of life, energy, food, and shelter. Regrettably, the current administration is failing to perform these tasks. The current administration claims the gross domestic product is booming, but much of it comes from government spending and employment. The government share of gross domestic product in the United States today is 42%, including federal, state, and local spending. This outrageous share is similar to what it was in the Soviet Union in the late 1980s before the collapse. Rampant inflation stemming from this government share of the economy makes it difficult for families to buy nutritious food. A dozen eggs, which could be bought for less than $1 in 2019, now ranges from $2 to $4 today. With price increases of over 100%, in the same period, a median household income increased by a mere 9%. High mortgage interest rates, jumping from 2% to 7.5% in less than 3 years, places the dream of home ownership out of reach for too many Americans. Our national security is compromised. Unstable supply chains leave many store shelves empty. Our power plants and manufacturing facilities lack key spare parts. Ill-conceived domestic policies result in job losses and homelessness. The pursuit of misguided foreign military interventions has not only drained our resources, but also imperiled our hard-won energy independence, subjecting Americans to rising fuel prices and foreign influence. Today, the government employs an estimated 2.87 million people. If we include federal contractors, this number balloons to between 12 and 25 million. All of these events occur against the backdrop of a national sovereign debt that has skyrocketed to $34 trillion. Even worse, we are currently adding another $1 trillion to national debt roughly every 3 months. It is impossible to drain the swamp with unsound money and a colossal debt that we cannot sustain. Tragically, D.C. Beltway politicians are controlled by the so-called donor class. This form of corruption is enabled by a cancerous central banking system. With privileged access to capital, this ruling class orchestrates endless wars, enriching themselves and their cronies while sending our soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines to serve in foreign lands of marginal strategic interest to the United States. Meanwhile, open borders are allowing millions of illegals or migrants to flood into our country. This uncontrolled influx is straining our resources, overwhelming our communities, and destroying our prosperity. Reckless calls to defund and punish the police are crippling law enforcement. Officers are underfunded, undermanned, and unable to protect our citizens, making our cities unsafe for all, especially women, children, and the elderly. Open borders cannot be divorced from an explosion of criminality never before seen in the history of our country. The number of Americans dying from illegal drug or fentanyl overdose is over 100,000 each year, much of it trafficked through the wide open southern border. There are more than 26,000 homicides each year, according to the FBI crime statistics. This is likely an undercount because in the last 2 years, more than 40% of police agencies did not report data because of a change in the system the FBI uses under political pressure. The number of missing children each year is estimated at over 800,000, which works out to be over 2,000 children every day. This alarming statistic is worsened by the overt sexualization of our children in public schools. Our children are our future. They should be protected, not exploited. Washington has also spent $14 trillion on various Middle East wars over the last 23 years in a series of self-defeating military interventions. More recently, Washington spent hundreds of billions of dollars on an unnecessary war with Russia, with little to show for it except higher prices for millions of Americans at the supermarket and the gas pump. Trillions were also wasted in the aftermath of the engineered COVID disaster, enriching the laptop class, Silicon Valley, Wall Street, and big business, while American workers, small business owners, and independent contractors were destroyed. Trillions have been wasted on unreliable green energy, with metals mined in Africa and processed in China, while destroying American jobs and ignoring our domestic resources. The bottom line is the state of the union is not strong. In fact, it is fragile and deteriorating. The question before us is, where does America go from here? Consider the following actions that should be taken as soon as possible. First, we must secure our borders, our airports and harbors. Defending the United States and the American people must be our top priority in national defense. Second, unless the United States itself is attacked, we must avoid unnecessary conflict. Prosperity at home demands peace abroad. U.S. national security must not be hostage to foreign interests or their domestic agents inside the United States. Third, we must restore the rule of law inside our country. We must remove activist judges who fail to uphold the Constitution and who release violent criminals and illegals into our country. It is time to revisit the practice of judicial appointments for life. Fourth, an effective American military establishment demands merit-based selection and promotion. Fundamental reform to reduce overhead and maximize fighting power is vital. Today, we have 43 4-stars for 1.1 million soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. In 1943, when 12 million men were serving, we had only 7 4-stars. However, strengthening our nation's security and restoring the rule of law are only part of the equation. We must also focus on revitalizing our economy and harnessing American innovation to secure our prosperity for generations to come. We must restore energy independence to America as soon as possible, with a mix of resources including natural gas, nuclear, solar, and wind. We must reinvigorate American agriculture and incentivize family farmers and producers. We must outlaw foreigners and vulture capitalists from buying American farmland, securing access to food and our national independence. We must repatriate advanced manufacturing to the American heartland, maximizing the use of 3D printing, artificial intelligence, and robotics. To staff these jobs for the future, we must make public education a path to employment. American companies and individuals must be given one-time tax exemptions to bring trillions of dollars back to the United States. We must act swiftly to pare down the staffing of federal government agencies. Elon Musk eliminated 70% of woke staff at X, formerly Twitter, with no loss of site performance. We can do the same with our bloated bureaucracy. We must audit the Federal Reserve. They have failed in their mandate to maximize employment and maintain price stability. Lastly, cutting spending will not arrest the destructive impact of the national sovereign debt. We must restructure the debt to regain productivity and financial stability. Ultimately, we must reclaim our birthright as a free and sovereign people. We must restore the American dream for generations to come. We must renew our faith in our country. It is time for a course correction, ladies and gentlemen, a return to principles that have guided our nation through its darkest hours. We must recommit ourselves to the ideals of representative government, where the elected officials are truly accountable to the people they serve. Elected officials and bureaucrats who put foreign interests over American ones must go. Our nation's future depends on our unity and resolve to put America first. Only through such a renewed commitment can we restore the promise of a nation where every citizen has access to affordable energy, nutritious food, and secure shelter. The self-styled ruling class of globalist elites must not be allowed to enrich themselves at the expense of the American people. My fellow Americans, the road ahead is arduous, but our cause is just. Our cause is the return of prosperity at home, equality before the law, and peace abroad. Let us march forward, united in our pursuit of a more perfect union where the blessings of liberty are shared by everyone. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
All righty, we're back now. We have Dr. Ken Polk. He is running for Congress in the 14th Congressional District. One of the biggest disasters. If I were king for today, I would have that January 6th Select Committee. I would have every one of those people on that committee. I would have them put in the very same dirty jails that they put our patriot Christians in. That was corruption. That was a coup to overthrow the government. You know it. I know it. Many of the people out there in this country know it. In fact, today, over 50% of the people in this country believe that the CIA and the FBI are going to try to throw this next election, that they're going to try to throw this next election. Ken Polk, what do you say about anyone who would have voted for that select committee?
Wow. We just listened to an awful lot of great information, and I don't know where to begin, but I'll try and answer your question. Liz Cheney should be brought in front of Congress right now with charges brought against her. And to answer your question specifically here, Pastor, my opponent, Dave Joyce, voted for the January 6th committee. Now, you tell me, is that a conservative who's voting for the January 6th committee? I beg to differ. He is not. He is a rhino at best.
So you have all these people that watch these commercials that are being played all day long, how conservative Dave Joyce is, but he is not a conservative at all by any means, is he?
No. It is amazing. You never hear from Dave Joyce until election time. And now they're trying to make him out as the most conservative person on the planet. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. He's not a Trump supporter. In fact, one of the groups that is supporting me out of Columbus, Ohio, is the Ohio Advocates for Medical Freedom. Dave Joyce, not only in voting for the January 6th committee, voted to have your government, your federal government, track and keep track of anybody who had refused to have the COVID-19 vaccination. Again, are those votes that are of a conservative? Again, I beg to differ.
Well, they absolutely are. And again, he has not been a Trump supporter, has he?
No, not in the least. And this is why I am running. We need more people like Donald Trump. We need more people like Jim Jordan. We need more people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. So if you want more people like that in Congress, I highly suggest you vote for me. If you want more rhinos like Mitt Romney, Liz Cheney, Mitch McConnell, then I suggest you vote for Dave Joyce.
Well, you see, but again, people will watch all of these ads that he's running, and they believe him.
Well, you know, it's ironic, but about 2 months ago, I spoke in front of the Trumbull County Women's Republican Group, and I said to them in my closing remarks, I stated that Albert Einstein once said, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Well, if you go into the voting booth and you see a name that you've been voting for all these years, then that tells me that you condone the violence, you condone the homelessness, you condone all of the drug problems, and you condone what the Mexican cartel is doing in our border, killing our children, killing our citizens, that you are approving of all of this with your vote. So continue voting for Dave Joyce if you like all the chaos that is going on.
But they have to be, don't you see? We see that on television every day, and they tell us that Dave Joyce is a conservative, and we're supposed to believe him because we've been trained up by the mainstream media to just buy into whatever they want to feed us.
Well, like Skip said earlier, and I agree with him, we are seeing the dumbing down of America, and this is part of the problem of our education system, which I would like to see completely reformed. I'd like to see the Department of Education completely dismantled and done away with. They're an absolute an abortion, and I want to see more funding, more school choice for private education, and let's upgrade the standards rather than continuing with this nonsense about critical race theory and sexual transformation and all this other garbage and nonsense.
Absolutely. We've got to take it to them. We've got to run to the battle. What you guys were talking about earlier, look, here you go. Here we go. Scientists now want to dehydrate the stratosphere to combat global boiling. Now, here's their latest real scheme. Now, I don't know if you've noticed, but have you noticed that we don't have as many sunny days as we used to have? Well, there's this fellow named Bill Gates who started something about 3 years ago, and he told us he was going to do it, and he's been putting chemicals out there in the sky to block out the sun, and that's he's been doing that. You see these chemtrails, he's been spending billions of dollars. He's been buying farmland. He's the biggest owner of land in the United States, and the whole point of that is to control the food supply, all right? Here now, a study published in Science Advances involves the ambitious, contentious idea of seeding the upper atmosphere with particles to prevent water vapor from entering into the stratosphere. Water vapor is important because it's the most abundant greenhouse gas on Earth. The greenhouse effect occurs when gases in the atmosphere trap heat from the sun, keeping the planet livable. You see, remember, we were one of the very first people that came out and told you that it's the sun that heats the Earth, not SUVs. It's the sun. Remember, we did that experiment. What we did is we went out on my driveway and the concrete, and part of it was in shade and part of it was in sun, and we took the temperature of the part that was in sun, and it was warmer than the part that was in the shade. So this was getting really deep for the liberals out there, for the Democrats. I mean, how dare you inflict us with common sense? Common sense will not be tolerated, okay? I mean, it's an amazing where we're at today. But
well, Pastor, in the past, we've been able to take large companies like Google and try and throw the antitrust laws against them. Why can't we do the same thing to Bill Gates, who's consuming and buying up all this farmland? Why can't we do this to China, who's buying up our farmland?
I'll tell you the answer to that is because we don't have a Department of Justice, see? Well, see, Congress can bring charges, but they cannot convict. And so we have to get Trump back in office. We've got to clean, if he has to use the military, he can. You've got to clean out the deep state. You've got to clean out, and this time he, Skippers, do you think maybe Trump knows a little bit more about the deep state and the fact that, he got, and everywhere he turned, he was betrayed.
Well, Pastor, that's my one complaint against Donald Trump. From day one, he should have dismantled the deep state, gone in and flushed it all out. And unfortunately, he allowed that cancer to live, and that cancer came back to haunt him.
Right.
And it's still haunting him. Well, we've got to get rid of the cancer.
He didn't realize he was Well, he believed what he was told by the people that were around him. He was betrayed, okay? And so now he's got a much better grip on that. And since then, they've been vetting a number of these people so they know. And within this, the FBI, they got to go down two or three layers and eliminate all the top layers. CIA, the very same thing. You know, Kennedy wanted to eliminate the CIA, and you saw what happened to him. And then Ronald Reagan wanted to eliminate the CIA, and so does Donald Trump. He mentioned eliminating the CIA.
But think about what he walked into. You know, he's surrounded by people. How do you know who to trust?
That's it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you get all these people that are around you, and you're doing your best because you know you're walking into the swamp, and you know that swamp is going to possibly kill you or at the very least, fight against you. He needs to find some allies. But, I mean, Bill Clinton probably did the right thing. Do you remember what he did? He fired everybody.
Yeah.
He walked in the door, and everybody was gone, and he replaced the entire everybody surrounding him with people he thought he could trust. Now, there were people he couldn't trust either. The problem is the swamp is what it is. It's filled with alligators, and alligators are going to eat you because that's their nature, right? But Trump was trying to figure out. He's a businessman. He's figuring out, well, you know, some people, maybe I can get him to work with me, you know. And some people, and he's trying to play the political game where he's trying to reach out his hand and have both sides come together. It worked to some degree. He got a lot accomplished while he was in there using people that didn't like him, Pompeo as his Secretary of Defense or Secretary of State, and actually was pretty doggone effective and then cut his throat at the end of the day, or he's doing that today. But he's so much smarter today. He now knows from a operational standpoint how the White House and all of that works today. If he gets elected again, and these guys are scared to death, if he gets elected today, I think he is going to go in there.
The first
and just
thing
clean
he's going to do is 250,000 federal employees that are going to get the axe. Okay,
they should start with the Department of Education because it's destroying education in our country.
Well, you've got a lot of it now. You saw Biden's Secretary of State. He went out and he said, look, I need 51 former intelligence agencies to lie, to come out. And they said, no problem. That's what we do. We lie, okay? And see, there's no honesty, no integrity. To us, lying is wrong.
Right.
Okay, to the Democrats, lying is necessary.
It's just
it's part of their nature.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
The ends justify the means.
Yeah.
So if you read Saul Alinsky, lying is just part of the game.
Well, this is what communists do. Pastor, this is what communists do. You know, I grew up as a staunch Democrat. My parents were staunch Democrats. But as I wrote in my book, they were different Democrats. They were what I call JFK Democrats. They love God, they love their country, and family and church had values to them. Well, JFK would be rolling over in his grave right now, be thinking to himself, I took a bullet in the head for this. This is not the party that I was in charge of at one time.
JFK would be considered an extreme conservative today.
Oh, yes, but without a doubt.
Here's the thing. Years ago, because, you know, I've been in this game for a long, long time, and I helped craft and worked on a lot of legislation, pro-life legislation, pro-family legislation. And back in the 70s and even the 80s, we could count on some Democrats crossing over when we need to get some legislation passed on voting pro-life, voting pro-family, okay? Today, no. They're in lockstep against God and country and family. They're in hard. So there are no more Democrats. These are communists.
They are communists.
We got Muslim elected officials out of Minneapolis. I mean, you look at the populations now, and this was intentional, by the way. The Muslim countries imported a lot of people into the Detroit, Minneapolis, various communities, and they're able to elect congressmen whose loyalty is not to the United States. They say the oath to the Constitution, uphold and defend it, and immediately start defending, Hamas and the Islamic states. It's terrible what's going on right now in our country, and we're allowing that crap to happen.
Go ahead and read that.
says West Point removes the words duty, honor, country from its mission statement. That is absolutely, to me,
breathtaking.
Cruel. I mean, it's just disgusting that our military leaders would allow this crap to happen.
Okay, John McTurnan, who's the founder of Cops for Christ National International, very well-known journalist, very well-known author, he's my Friday, every Friday he's my co-host. He and I got into a battle with the War Department and the Pentagon a few years back, probably about 5 or 10 years ago, because they had written a paper stating that Christians should not serve in the military because, and then they quoted, actually, Zechariah chapter 14 and some other Bible verses saying that our allegiance was to Jesus Christ and not to the New World Order. Therefore, we should not be able to serve in the military. You know, when I read that, I couldn't believe it. So we started actually having some back and forth with the War Department. And it's unbelievable where the country's going. And yet, it's like people are sitting back. We have a lot of spectators that are supposed to be in this battle with us, supposed to be out there fighting with us. Now, on the other side of that, there is a movement within the country today of the Patriots. And I hate to say it, but I got a bad feeling that we're going to be, that this thing's going to turn into a shooting battle. Because of that, unless we have repentance. Look, let me ask you a question. What does the Bible say in Genesis chapter 12 about those that bless Israel and those that curse Israel?
Remind us, Pastor.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll have to open my Bible up because I don't know it like you do.
You guys should know that. Now here, God says those that are a blessing to Israel, God will bless, and those nations that curse Israel, God will curse. Now, we told you on October 6th when Hamas invaded Israel that this country would soon, even though they came out above board, up above the table, endorsing Israel, supporting, that we would soon betray Israel. I told you back there. Little by little, it's been moving that way. Now, Chucky Schumer, hardcore communist and Jew, came out today talking about Netanyahu needs to be pulled down and replaced. But here, we told you this. Biden regime grants Iran billions in new relief. Where do you think that money's going? That Iran is going right to Hamas.
Going right to Hamas, exactly.
Right. You know, Biden is a traitor. Out and out, he's a traitor. We should have him up on charges. He should be impeached. You know, unfortunately, we don't have a Congress who has the spine to do what's necessary, and we don't have a Senate in there right now. I mean, everybody should be saying a prayer right now that we take over the Congress and the Senate, and that we put people in there that have a spine. We did this once before. When Trump got elected, we had the Congress and we had the Senate. We could have cleaned house, and we didn't.
Style, do we have that clip that we played yesterday on the Biden with the congressional hearings with Robert the what is his name, the Chinese fellow who's a attorney general?
Yeah, let me go ahead and look for it real quick.
Yeah, we just played it yesterday.
I'd like to differ with Skip here in one point. Skip said that Joe Biden should be impeached for what he has done as a traitor to this country. I disagree totally. After tried for treason, he should be shot. He needs to be set an example of in this country so people know what it means to be a traitor to this country. Not only Joe Biden, but Hunter and James Biden as well.
Well, the entire January 6th Select Committee are guilty of treason.
Yes.
You have so much of that. Do we have that clip now?
Yeah, I got it for you.
Now, listen, it shows you that we have a two-tier justice system in this country. And now here, Joe Biden has been found totally guilty of all these crimes, but the prosecutor says, well, I don't think I can prosecute him. I don't think I could win the case.
Yeah, here's what he's too old and incompetent.
Yeah, well, no, but here's not what he's not saying. He's not saying is, look, there's no chance at all to have a court, a jury in Washington, D.C. There's no chance that a jury in Washington, if Joe Obama was to eat 10 babies live on camera.
He would be convicted in D.C. No.
Right, not in D.C. Yeah. Go ahead and play that clip.
Classified documents were found at the Penn Biden Center?
That's correct.
They were found in President Biden's garage?
In Wilmington, Delaware, yes.
And in his basement den?
Also in the same home, yes.
In the major, in his main floor office?
Correct.
And his third floor den?
Correct.
At the University of Delaware?
Correct.
And at the Biden Institute?
Correct.
And the elements of the crime for this, I mean, we get into all of this, but the elements of the crime are pretty simple, right? President Biden had unauthorized possession of a document, writing, or note. That's
correct.
And that the document, writing, or note related to national defense.
Correct.
And that the defendant, and we may talk about the willfully part here in a second, retained the document, writing, or note, and failed to deliver it to an employee or officer entitled to receive it.
Correct. There is a willfulness intent element, as you say.
But those are the elements of the crime.
Including the intent element, yes.
And there are at least two different quotes, right, where he told his ghostwriter, and this is in your report, in a matter of fact, and this is February 16, 2017, that he had just found all this classified stuff downstairs.
He did make that statement that was captured on an audio recording.
And on April 10th, 2017, Biden read aloud a classified passage related to a 2015 meeting in the Situation Room.
That is in the report, yes.
And these are national security documents, Afghanistan, I mean, has been mentioned a whole bunch of those things, right?
Correct.
And at one point in time, his personal attorneys and the DOJ attorneys argued about notes, taking all of the different things and compared it to Reagan.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Congressman?
President Biden's attorneys, personal attorneys, talked about the notes and why they didn't actually account for the Presidential Records Act. But you found that argument in your report. It seems a little persuasive, but you eventually said no, the executive order trumps, right?
We did set forth an analysis of the governing law and ultimately concluded that the executive order 13526 does apply and did govern former Vice President Biden at the time.
So you have audio recording from his ghostwriter where the president acknowledges that the information he has is classified and he's sharing with his ghostwriter.
We have an audio recording capturing a statement from Mr. Biden saying to his ghostwriter in February of 2017, quote, I just found all the classified stuff downstairs, end quote.
And then again reciting passages from a meeting in the Situation Room.
Yes.
And those are in President Biden's own words.
Correct.
Right. So the ghostwriter has no classified, he has no clearance, no classified clearance to anything, correct?
That is our understanding that Mr. Zwanitzer was not authorized to receive classified information.
Okay. So the elements are possessed documents, the documents related to national defense, and willfully retained those documents, and in this case, shared them with somebody who was not allowed to receive them.
There are different subsections of 18 U.S.C. 793. One subsection relates to the willful retention, and another relates to disclosure of national defense information.
Well, I mean, the willful retention, we've got the Penn Biden Center, the garage, the basement den, the main floor office, the third floor den, the University of Delaware, and the Biden Institute. We have a 50-year career of a person who has not been very great at dealing with classified documents throughout, even prior to his time as vice president, when he was in the U.S. Senate, right?
We do address each set of those documents in the report, Congressman.
So the difference, but I think this is really important because the difference is it appears just from reading the report, and we heard all about exonerated and all of those different things. It appears from the report he met every actual element of the crime.
All righty, we are back. Now, do you understand what you just listened to? You just listened to the Attorney General saying, yes, this guy committed high treason. He committed treason. He made this available, documented, classified him. Now, think about this. Has Trump done anything even remotely close to what he just said?
No.
Okay.
No.
And so here, and yet, what happened? Now, you had these communist Congress people yesterday trying to say, well, but he was acquitted. No. No. He was not acquitted. He was not acquitted. He was found guilty of these crimes, but we could not try the case. Well, he forgot to tell you, well, Merrick Garland told me not to do that. My boss, Merrick Garland, he told me not to do that. Now, he didn't tell you that, but we all know that that happened, right? And the same thing with, he said, well, people would think that he's an old man with no memory, and they'd feel sorry for him. No, no. Again, there's no way in the world you're going to get a conviction against a communist in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., that D.C. stands for District of Crime. District of Crime, okay? And it is totally, totally corrupt, Washington, D.C. So there you go.
So the big
you better get
is,
up close to your mic.
If we replace Dave Joyce,
we're going to make
what
some
would
changes.
We have? What would we have? I mean, did Dave Joyce, was he part of the committee that got to question this gentleman? And actually, that guy resigned so he would be able to testify.
Yeah, no, Dave, I didn't see Dave question him at all. I watched the whole thing. I didn't see Dave. I just missed part of it.
He was out meeting with the Democrats someplace to make a deal.
With Nowak.
Yeah, with somebody. I mean, no. It's very frustrating that we don't have a Congress. That's not just Dave. Across the board, we don't have a Congress that really has enough of a spine. I mean, think about the Democrats when they're in control. I mean, these guys are pure on, full out Marxists. Look at the doggone Muslims.
They're in lockstep.
They are in lockstep, right. Exactly.
If it's anti-God, anti-family, anti-American.
They are bankrupt. What is the end goal? Because our debt is climbing at such a fast pace. Eventually, it's got to end. We cannot continue down this path. We will eventually collapse our economy. Russia's economy collapsed.
That's
what happened to us.
That's the whole goal. But you see, these people out there, like those folks that live down the street from you and had the Biden sign in the yard, they don't realize it's going to affect them too. The Democrats don't realize that when it does go down, when it's going to affect them too. You know, the riots and the burnings and that have been pretty much limited to the cities, but that's going to change. Oh, look, Biden has brought in, we know, 50,000 Chinese nationals. These are military people that are on our soil right now, 50,000. We know that we have 5 million.
Working with the drug cartels.
Working with the Muslims.
Who also came across the border. I mean, these guys are working together, and we have some evidence of that in Geauga County.
Yeah.
Now, our sheriff's not talking about it, but we have evidence of it. And like you said, what's going to happen when the stuff hits the fan? Even the Democrats are going to get up in arms because they don't want their homes broken into and stuff stolen. What are they going to do? Open the door up and say, yeah, come on in, immigrants. Show us your immigrant card so we can give you everything in our house. They're not going to do that.
No.
Have any guns. I've got all the guns. So
all of a sudden, the chickens come home to roost. They're going to find that out.
This is why, Pastor, we need Trump back in the White House, and we literally need to take our militia down to the Mexican border and wipe out the cartel. Yep. We have got to do that.
You don't have to go to the Mexican border. They're here.
Oh, yeah. But they're operating on the border.
Well, you got to start here first and then take it to the border.
The cartel is one dangerous organization.
Yes.
Multi-billion dollar, very rich right now, making a ton of money, taking advantage of people to get them here. And they're in bed with the Mexican government. So I'm not sure what the solution to that is. And all I can think is, we've got to get our military down into Mexico and clean that nest.
Well, we've invaded Mexico before. This wouldn't be a precedent. We certainly can do it again.
Right. And so, anyhow, folks, this is what we're talking about. Ken Polk is running for Congress in the 14th Congressional District. He's a true conservative. And again, what happens is, remember what the immortal words of Forrest Gump, stupid is as stupid does. If you continue to reelect the same people, they're going to continue doing that. Dave Joyce did not support Donald Trump.
He did not one bit.
Okay.
Not one bit.
And so there you go. and the same thing with here, the rhinos in Geauga County. And remember, this is we were going back all the way back to 2016. We warned about that. Right now, today in Ohio, we've got the Rhino Blue 22, right? We have 22 Democrats that ran as Republicans and got elected as Republicans, okay? And what are they doing? They're bringing back, they vote with the Democrats.
They do what Democrats do.
Yep. And that is destroying our nation.
We've got a Democrat county commissioner. And, you know, he's attacking his own employees. Jerry Morgan, who's the county administrator, publicly. I mean, I don't attack my employees publicly. If I've got an issue with somebody, I'm going to take them aside privately and deal with it so that the public doesn't, you know, he's not creating a mess. But this county commissioner is choosing to air the dirty laundry in front of the public, and it's just not right. He's a Democrat.
We have something that just took place where? In Ashtabula County? Out there tonight. With the
prosecuting attorney Colleen O'Toole has filed a grievance
against Fry?
Against Charlie Fry, who is the Republican head, and also against, I believe, Sandra O'Brien, who is the state senator in District 32.
That's what it says here. And so you have, let me see.
And it was for election fraud, is the grievance and the charge.
Okay, board member, she said, here you go. Isaac Arthur, Charlie Fry, John Mead, and employees of the board for violations. So all of those people, they filed charges against for
election fraud, yes.
Now, Charlie Johnson has been trying to tell us about this. He's been trying to warn us about this. He was on the radio program. So everything he said has come to pass, hasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it has. It has.
Yeah, Colleen O'Toole is quite a piece of work.
Well, so go ahead. And you two guys, you both have about 4 minutes apiece to go ahead and do your last campaign here tonight.
Well, I'll lead it off here. There are three reasons that I would like to see voters consider me as their candidate. Reason number one, I am not a career politician. I am a former NFL quarterback. I am a dental anesthesiologist of over 35 years in practice. So I bring a wealth of experience, business-wise, medical-wise, science-wise. I'm not buying into climate change in any iota. I bring a wealth of experience there. Reason number two, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not bought and paid by anybody, much like Skip. I've got a grassroots organization, and we are funding our own campaign for the most part. Reason number three, maybe one of the more critical reasons, being a doctor, I do know the difference between a man and a woman. I think that's a strong reason to send me to
Congress.
I'm
not a doctor, I'm a pastor, but I knew that even when I was a kid before.
Yeah. So those are some of the reasons that folks definitely should consider me for U.S. Congress. I also will be a voice for the people. I am a voice for the working man. My parents were blue-collar workers, hardcore Democrat blue-collar workers. My dad worked for the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers, so he was a union guy. My mother worked for Juergens Tool Company, which if you go down on Route 2 and I-90, you can see Juergens Tool Company in the old Collinwood neighborhood that I grew up in. She actually started a union for Juergens Tool Company. Now, we're going back into the 60s, and for a female to do that in the 60s, that's a pretty strong woman. Those are the values and the principles that I was raised with. And so those are more reasons why you need to cast a vote for Dr. Kenneth J. Polk.
All right. I'm convinced. All right.
Yep.
Go ahead.
So where's that ballot at? And I'm Skip Claypool, running for county commissioner. I was a commissioner. I know how the office works. I could literally walk in there tomorrow and I'd be an effective county commissioner. I was also a township trustee, so I know across the political spectrum how things work within our county. Moreover, I'm not a politician, obviously. That's the reason that the political class doesn't really care for me too much. But I am somebody who knows how to get things done. I came up with the concept plan for the new county buildings that were built. Unfortunately, I wasn't there to help see them through. I think I could have helped from bringing them in at a lower cost and maybe change the design a little bit. But the county buildings are beautiful. They're doing a nice job, and they're centralized in the county to bring a lot of good services for people. I also came up with the concept plan and sold it to Tim and Ralph for the new recycling center, which is down on Merritt Road. And I think that's a great facility. I don't know how many people are using it. They tell me they're busy all the time. People are taking stuff down there. They're the one place in the area that you can actually recycle styrofoam. And so even Cleveland doesn't have styrofoam recycling. You have to have some high-tech equipment and be able to compress it and grind it and do all that kind of stuff. So I did those things in the four-year period that I was there. We paid off the county debt. We reduced expenses. We cleaned up the operations. We were always running a transparent government office. We responded to all the public information requests and took care of making people feel comfortable that the office was running appropriately. We really didn't have any issues with that. So I'd like to get back in there and see some things through. There's a new courthouse that's being built. I'd like to add some value and make sure that that's brought in under budget and on time, and that it's designed properly so the courts operate and function properly, and people get their money's worth tax standpoint. I'd also like to look and do an audit on all the budgets. In the corporate world, I always believed in zero-based budgeting. So I want every line item in a budget to be justified, not just, you know, you start with the budget and then you just build from there. You add on to the budget every year. That's typically what organizations do. So they add more people, they add more expense. Every year people get a raise. I don't know how many people get a raise every single year in the corporate world. You know, in the corporate world, we often got an edict from our bosses that said reduce by 10%.
Yeah,
and we had to do that.
If you have any money left over, you got to spend it or you won't get that amount next time.
Yeah, that's what government does.
Yep, that's exactly.
In the corporate world, we didn't do that. We had to justify our entire budget, line item by line item.
That's the way to go.
And so that's the way the government should operate. I'd like to take a look at every single line item in the budgets and start beating those budgets up a little bit. And I know that the prosecutor's office and the auditor's office and the building department and all that kind of stuff aren't going to like that, but that's what you need to do in order to respect the tax dollars.
That's right. All righty. We have joining us now Pastor Hal. Hey, Pastor Hal.
How you doing?
We're doing all right. Can you tell the folks and everybody out there how they can avoid that burning like a fire and how they can get to heaven someday?
Sure. How long do I have?
You got about 5 minutes.
Okay. First of all, I just want to look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Where it says, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when this country gave God the glory, you know, I think Blake's Law said this country was founded on three things, Old English Law, the Bible, and common sense. But when this country turned its back on the Bible, it went into insanity, because the Bible and God is the only thing that made this country great. And the Democrat Party is totally anti-God, satanic in all its doctrine and Marxism and everything. And we're being destroyed by the enemies of God, the enemies of America. And something to note, in Revelation, God told a church now that was lukewarm that because they're neither cold nor hot, he was going to spew them out of his mouth. Well, think what he's going to do with the Democrat Party, this murdering babies, promoting abominations, transsexual stuff and homosexual stuff. I mean, their very creator, they make him sick in their stomach by their works. And no wonder this country's going through what it's going through. I don't know how any Christian could vote Democrat when these people hate God. But now let me get to the message here. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That means your good works, church membership, I don't care who you are, you're not going to get to heaven by being a good person, because one sin to keep you out of heaven, and we sin every day of our life in thought, word, or deed. When Jesus died on that cross, God was allowing him to transfer every sin you and I have ever done onto his son, Jesus. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," that meant all the work necessary for your redemption and mine has been accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ in transferring our sins onto himself. And now whether you go to heaven or hell depends on what you do with that finished payment. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So that means you could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards, because your church membership doesn't wash away one sin. And John 1:12 said, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God." Salvation is not automatic. Even though Jesus paid the payment for on that cross for us, he said, "But as many as received him." Even the devil knows Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood to save your soul, but the devil does not want you to reach out and receive that payment. He wants you to think that you can get there your own way and that you don't need Jesus, or you could add your works to what Jesus did, and it don't work that way. And Ephesians 1:7 said, "In whom we have redemption through his blood." It's not through the city's water system. It's not through the Pope or the priest or your church leaders or anybody else. It's through the blood of Christ, because in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it was the very pure, perfect blood of God himself that washes away our sin. Nobody else could do it. Not Peter, Paul, Mary, or any of the Christian saints that lived a long time ago. Only Jesus. And so if you want Jesus to come into your heart and give to you the payment he paid for you on the cross, Revelation 3:20 said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." He's knocking at the door of your heart right now. He said, "If any man will open up that door, I will come in." And it's when he comes in, he gives you personally the payment he paid for you on that cross. Now, if you want Jesus in your heart, Romans 10:13 tells you how to open up that door. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." To call means to pray. That means you pray and you ask Jesus to come into your heart. Luke 13:3 says, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Which means before you come to Jesus, you got to come with a repentant heart. Repenting about the fact you're a sinner and asking Jesus to come into your heart and cleanse you of those sins, and that you want to live for him. So if you want to do that, let me lead you to Jesus in a simple prayer of faith right now.
1 minute.
But even though we're praying together, it's directly between you and God. Let's pray. "Oh, dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. I confess unto you that I've sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed. And right now, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins and save my soul from hell. Believing you died on that cross and shed your blood for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, 1 John 5:13, the Apostle John said, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Not that you may think it, wish it, or hope for it, but that you may know." And when he said "believe on," that meant that you personally receive. It goes from believing about to receiving him, which you just did in that prayer, if you prayed that in a minute. So, according to God's promise, if you died right now and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior just a moment ago, I'll see you in heaven. Go ahead, Pastor.
Well, you're absolutely right. Everything you just said, I agree with. You're right. And, folks, again, check this out. You're all going to die. That's a fact. And the Bible says it's appointed to men once to die and then the judgment. That'll happen. And so do it. Pray the prayer. Well, we're out of time again, so this time every night, we always do a couple things. One, we go say good night.
Good night.
We say God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
And then we say always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.